God Saves the Remnant, Part 2. And if you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Zechariah. So I'll be reading chapter 8, verses 9 to 13. And thereafter, I shall invite Pastor to bring us God's word. Julie, please.
Zechariah chapter 8, verses 9 to 13. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Before that time, there were no wages for people or hire for animals. No one could go about their business safely because of their enemies, since I had turned everyone against their neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. The seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of the people. Just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations, so I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. May God bless those who read and obey his word.
Many things can hurt us and hurt us in a deep way. It can be a stubborn sickness that refuses to go away, or it can be an uncooperative colleague who makes life very miserable for you and you dread going back to work. Or it could be a difficult subject. You crack your brains over it, but you don't seem to understand the subject. And it troubles you because the final exams are nearing, your grades are dropping, and there are worries and worries and more worries. Life is filled with many things that can hurt us in a deep way. But dear child of God, perhaps today you are going through some difficult times. I do not know your struggles, but perhaps you are going through some difficult times. I urge you, do not be disheartened. Do not be disheartened. Why? Because God saves the remnant. Today we want to study part 2 of this chapter. We have looked at chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. We want to look at verses 9 to 13. We have studied also the first 7 chapters of Zechariah. God saves the remnant. And who are the remnant? Now, the remnant in the context of the Old Testament usage, it refers to those who were exiled, who were hurt in wars, and now they are returning, and there are pitiful people, a pitiful lot of people who survive after a war. The remnant refers to these people who existed, who lived some several thousand years ago, a remnant after a war. But they also refer to us, people who are hurt due to life's various trials. We also are the remnant. And God comforted the people of old. God will also comfort you. So I urge you, do not be too disheartened. Trust the Lord. Things will be well. God saves the remnant. But as I said last week, heaven is free. Eternal life is free. But if you are going to enjoy eternal life and heaven, the glories of heaven in a very tangible way, there are conditions. Heaven is free. Eternal life is free. But to enjoy eternal life when you are on earth, it's not free. You have to do something. You have to be responsible. And we want to look at the condition laid down at the beginning of Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you." And it is connected to verse 16. And then what will happen when you return to the Lord? Verse 16 says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord Yahweh says, I will return to Jerusalem with mercy. If we return to the Lord will return to us and show us mercy." And that is the condition. And as I shared last week, when God says, "Return to me," you must also look at the other twin. You must also look at, "I will return to you." Now this, return to me, and I will return to you. And as I shared last week, it's like you can think it in terms of a relationship between a husband and a wife. So when the husband says, wife, I love you, and when the wife tells the husband, husband, I love you, it is not just one statement. What is involved is not just one action, love. It goes deeper than that. It's a whole set of commands that we have to obey. It's a relationship. In other words, when God tells us to return to him and he will return to us, he's talking about maintaining a relationship. You have to maintain that relationship. And maintaining that relationship involves understanding a whole set of things, of responsibilities. So return to me and I'll return to you. He's talking about maintaining a relationship. He's not just talking about obeying a single command. And how do you maintain that relationship? Love the Lord, your Savior, with your heart. And how do you show that you really love the Lord? So as Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. That's in John chapter 14, verse 21. If you love your Savior, then you will obey his commands. And if you obey his commands, Jesus summarizes the entire Old Testament for us in two sentences. Then you will serve God, love God, you will serve his people, you will love his people. And how do you show concretely, in concrete terms, with details, that you love the Lord? How do you show that you really love the Lord? Loving the Lord is not put only on the lips. It's not just about doing some do's and don'ts. What does loving the Lord involve? If you love the Lord, Zechariah says, then if you love the Lord, he will show mercy to you. But how do you love the Lord? When you love the Lord, God will show you mercy. But how do you love the Lord? And with that, we look at chapter 8, verse 9. This is how you love the Lord, verse 9. This is what Yahweh, the Lord Almighty, says. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. If you love the Lord, what will you do? Now verse 9 tells us, then you will build God's temple. You will build God's temple. Why build God's temple? Now to the ancient people, building a temple for their God represents gratitude to God. But why build a temple? Now in the Old Testament idea, understanding of the importance, why is building a temple so important? Because temple represents the presence of God. And when we think of the temple of God, it's a beautiful place, right? So there's gold, there's silver, there's precious stones, and things are orderly, things are majestic, the architecture is simply amazing, and so on and so forth. So the temple is beautiful. Why is the temple beautiful? Now, because the temple represents God, the glory of God. That's why it must be beautiful. The temple is an outward representation of God himself. That's why it must be beautiful, because God is glorious and God is beautiful. And what is the meaning of the temple in the midst of human beings? It means the glorious God is willing to stay in the midst, in our midst, together with human beings. As I've said last week, imagine Prime Minister Lawrence Wong says that he wants to stay in your little three-room flat. You'd be so honored, right? You say, I'm not worthy. That's the idea behind it. The temple of God represents God coming to stay in our midst, coming to live with us, walk with us in a very intimate and close way, despite our unworthiness. And so why build the temple of God? Because only when they build the temple of God, then God will bless the nation in the midst of great sufferings. That's why they must build the temple of God. Because building the temple of God will bring down the glory, the strength, the kindness, the mercy of God. So return to me, and I will return to you by staying with you, by showing you mercy. And the ancients built the temple of God. What about us? What is the command to us today? You have to build God's church. And building God's church, the word church never refers in the New Testament, it never refers to a building. It always consistently refers to a group of people. And in this case, this church here refers to, for example, a local church that worships in this place, or a local church can refer to a place in Marine Parade Avenue 5. I do not know whether there's a Marine Parade Avenue 5 in a particular locality. So it refers to a local church. So what must we do? What is our responsibility? The ancients built God's temple. We must build God's church. And God's church means build the lives of Christians. Every Christian must build the lives of other Christians. The Christian beside you, at the back of you, in front of you, you must be do something for their lives. You meet them day in, day out. Not day in, day out. You meet them every Sunday. You must do something for your fellow Christian. May I ask, are you an encourager? Have you lifted out somebody out of the miry clay? Have you held the hands of somebody and walked that person through difficult moments of life? Not simply solving his problems, but through this building of life, building his or her life, that person has loved, has come to trust the Lord, love the Lord, have faith in the Lord more. The life has changed. Have you done that for a fellow Christian? And that's the meaning of building God's church. You, your life, you have communicated life to another person. You have brought eternal life. You have brought spiritual life. You have brought God's life, God's strength to that person. You have a blessing, eternal blessing to that person. That's the meaning of building God's church. And that involves saving souls. Bring the lost sheep of God into God's house. And it involves building other people's spiritual life, teaching, encouraging, etc., etc. How important is it to Jesus that we build people's lives, Christian lives? How important? If you recall, Peter, the lead apostle, betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. When Jesus was arrested, and then somebody spotted Peter, said, "Hey, you are also a disciple of this man who was arrested, who's going to be crucified soon." "No, I don't know him. Another person saw him, "Surely you are that person. I can recognize your voice. I can recognize your accent." No, I don't know him. And then a third person says, you are that person's disciple. "No, I'm not." And he just denied it. He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. That I don't know this person. This person is a stranger to me. He has nothing to do with me. He has never made an impact of my life. He's nobody to me. He's nothing to me. That's the meaning of denying Christ. And after Peter denied Christ, guess what Jesus expects of Peter? How should Peter respond after that? Peter, you better make some compensation. Huh? You better do this for me, and then I make you stand for 1 hour outside the classroom. So what does Jesus expect of Peter after he has failed Jesus? It's a big failing, it's a big sin. So how do you think Jesus expects him to respond after that? With regards to his failure, "You better do something big for me," is it? Now, what does Jesus tell Peter? Jesus tells Peter 3 times, and this is the 3rd time. He said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the 3rd time. "See, you asked me 3 times already. Why? You don't believe me, yeah? Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." And what does Jesus say 3 times? Jesus said, "If you love me, build my church. Feed my sheep. Make them grow spiritually." Jesus says, after Peter has failed him in a big way, how must Jesus respond with regards to his failure? He says, "Yeah, you do this for me. Help my people grow spiritually. Build my church. Build the spiritual life of my church." Now, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is how much it matters to our Lord that we go out, we make an effort to build God's church. We cannot live a self-centered life. Our life cannot be about ourselves. It is time to step out of our comfort zone and love the Lord. So God expects us to build his temple. But to build God's temple, your hands must be strong. Because oftentimes, if you want to do something eternal life, something that matters in eternity, you want to build a person's life, you have to make sacrifices. You have to make sacrifices to love a person, to build a person, to help a person, to change the life of a person. to lead a person to Christ, to eternity. You have to make sacrifices. Your hands must be strong. You must not fear. Because you will ask, hey, will I lose out or not? Because I do this for that and do for the church, then what are my rest time? Then what do I then I have to come out of my own pocket and do this? Then nobody takes care of me. I take care of everybody and nobody takes care of me. Will I lose out? There was a young man. He was young, but now not young anymore. There was a young man. So when he knew that the Tree of Life was, we are going to start a new church, Tree of Life Christian Church, he had a scholarship to go to another country to do his studies. But you know what he did? One of the main reasons why he chose this option was, we are going to start the church. He stayed back, forgo that scholarship in a prestigious country, and did his studies in Singapore. Did he lose out? Sometimes as I look back, I wish he would have gone to that country to do his studies. So did he lose out? Well, in some sense, he lost out some things. But dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, he didn't lose out. The Lord has blessed him way and beyond what he could have asked for. Not only in material things, but more importantly, in spiritual life, his family, and so on. The Lord has blessed him. Did he lose out? The Lord has repaid him for what he has given to the Lord. There was another young family. Young family, now no more young already. Now the children are grown up. There was a young family, and naturally, every parent would love their child. So when they brought their children to this church, they asked a very legitimate question. This church is so small. Will my children, my son or my daughter, find a Christian boyfriend or girlfriend and get married? After end up not getting married, not having a family, they are very worried. They were very worried, legitimately. And just for information, I know not a few people who they worship with a big church, but they didn't manage to find a life partner. It doesn't work this way. It doesn't work this way. Sometimes we are too clever for the Lord, and we imagine things, and we thought that this is the way to plan, but it doesn't work out that way, because our life are in the hands of God. Our decisions are blessed or not blessed by the Lord. So therefore, walk in the ways of the Lord. The Lord will make your path straight and successful and good. So will I lose out? The Lord didn't forget what this family did for the Lord. The Lord has blessed his family in ways, in various ways. Now, don't be mistaken. I'm not saying that if you pay a price to follow the Lord, you will not lose out. I'm not saying that. Don't be mistaken. Oftentimes, when you want to follow the Lord, you have to pay a price. You have to make sacrifices. You will face losses, big or even small, or even big ones. But let me assure you from the Lord's word, a place that is very dangerous, but if you walk in God's will, that place is very safe. If that place is very safe, at least from your perspective, but it is not in God's will, that place becomes a terribly dangerous place. You hurt you and your family. So I'm not saying that you will not lose out, but what I'm saying that if the Lord allows you to lose out in some sense, you can be very assured. You can be very assured. God is so clever, so almighty, so powerful. This loss will not be a critical loss. It's a loss in the eyes of humans, that in the eyes of the world, it appears to be a loss. But in the eternity scheme of things, God has the ability to turn things around so that it works to your advantage. And I've seen not a few cases that are like that, where people make sacrifices for the Lord turns things around, and it turns out to be their great advantage. And they say, thank God I made this decision 20 years ago. This young man, this young family can testify to that. They are not people without problems, but they can testify to that. The Lord has been safe and has been good to them. And not only these two, I can cite many more. And therefore, build God's temple, build God's church, go and build lives, go and communicate life, make an impact on somebody for eternity, not just to solve that person's problem, but so that person will follow the Lord. Therefore, let your hands be strong. Strengthen your hands. Strengthen your guts. Don't be afraid. Serve the Lord. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. The order, the command was to go and build God's temple, go and build God's church. And this command to build God's church was a command that was given by the prophets. And these prophets, in context, it includes the author who wrote this passage, chapter 8, verses 9 to 13, Zechariah. But if you study the Old Testament Bible, it also includes other prophets like Haggai and other prophets. What is the point of telling us that this is also what the prophets, in plural, command us? What is the author Zechariah trying to tell us? He said this command to build God's temple, this command to build God's temple is God's command. It's not my command. It's not a human command. It comes from God himself. It carries with the divine authority. And that means, because it is a command, it is not an option. If you do not do it, you sin against the Lord. If you do it, you please the Lord, you have done right. It's a command, it means that it is your duty. You have a responsibility, a heavy obligation to make an impact on somebody. And it must start with Tree of Life Christian Church, a place where you worship and you meet your brothers and sisters in the Lord regularly. You must be a blessing to the people here. My intention is not to take you on a guilt trip. But before you leave this worship hall, I wanted to ask a question. You must really examine your own heart. You pray for others. Now, I'm not saying that you don't pray for yourself. Please do. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive, and the joy will be complete, says Jesus. Oh, you must pray. Pray for yourself, and you will receive. That's the Lord's promise. And your joy will be complete. You will receive the prayer in such an amazing way that your joy will be complete. So, but do you pray for other people? Do you know of people who are in need? Do you pray for them? Who is in need, do you know? So I urge you, fellowship with Christians. If you can, stay back after lunch. Chat. Hey, how are you doing your work? It is never a cliche to ask people, how are you after your... How are you? It's never a cliche. Each time when I ask, how are you? Due to time constraint, but when I say, how are you? I really mean it, how are you? And I want to hear how you are doing. And if I don't get the reply, I will probe a bit further. Say, how are you? Tell me about your work. Tell me about your family. How are you doing? It is so important that we understand, we know what people are going through. Then you can pray for people. So do you pray for others? Are you a good example? Every time when you come to church in time, do you know that you are a good example? You make an impact on people. See, wow, this person is never late. And if this person is late, there are always valid reasons. But this person is so punctual. Not only punctual. Come before time to prepare the heart to worship the Lord. A fine example. And look at the way this person carries himself when he collects offerings. He's always in time, properly dressed. It matters. He carries out the Lord's duty, the Lord's business, soberly and with great responsibility. And when people look at you, you'll be surprised. You may not be a teacher in the Sunday school. But because of your example, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, let me tell you, dear teachers, dear brothers and sisters in law, let me tell you something. Many teachers make an impact on the students, not simply by what they teach, but after the students have forgotten what the teacher taught them, they remember the mannerisms of the teacher. They remember the stability, the stately, the behavior, the conduct of the teacher. This is what is left behind. It's a legacy that's left behind. And that's the reason why your example matters. Parents, as I've said many times, your children will do what you do and never, not never. Sometimes they don't do what you say, but they will do what you do. If you want your child to be a person who reads the Bible, you must read the Bible. If you want a child, a person who is very regular, who will love the Lord, regular worship, who will honor the Lord, you must be like that also. You cannot, it's not possible for you to do one thing and hope the people that you impact, your child, your students, and hope to impact them otherwise. It never works this way, because our brains are not wired this way. Because we learn what we see. We do what we see. So, are you a good example? You must ask yourself, have you, by your life, you may have never preached the gospel, but by your life, people have said, hey, this is a Christian. Can people say that of you? Are you a fine example, a fine Christian? A fine Christian gentleman, a fine Christian lady? Do you serve people? When we serve in church, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, you must always remind yourself, and I remind myself too, we are here not to satisfy our ego. We are not here to satisfy, I don't feel fulfilled, because I find that serving in this ministry, I don't feel fulfilled. I feel that it is not meaningful. I want to do something bigger. It is not about yourself. Dear Christians, serving the Lord is not about serving, it's not about yourself. It's not about your emotion, how you feel, whether there's actualization, whether there's fulfillment, whether you feel meaningful, whether you feel that I've done something very meaningful and I feel good. It's not about your feelings. When we serve God, it's about serving people. Do you think the waiter who carries plates, wash the plates, and say, yes, sir, yes, yes, ma'am, do you think it's a very pleasant job to be a waiter or waitress? It's not a pleasant job to be a waiter and waitress. Why? Because you're serving people. But that is his duty. We serve people like that. We don't ask, I like it or don't like it. I feel good, I feel insulted, I don't feel insulted. Because the saying goes, the customer's always right. Although you will debate that. But the point is clear. When we serve people, it's not about how the waitress or the waiter feels. It's about whether you've done your job right or not for people. So when we serve God, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, you must remember, treat yourself as a servant. You must remember, I am a servant. There's nothing more I can ask for. That's the meaning of serving God. You serve people. You encourage people. Do drop a kind note. When you see someone in tears, when you see someone troubled, do drop a kind note. And you must lead people to Christ. Every Christian must have this goal in life. You must lead someone to Christ. I'm not talking about praying the sinner's prayer with a person. I'm not talking about that. To be honest, praying the sinner's prayer sometimes is much easier than bringing a person to church, making an impact on that person's life. Because of you, that person is willing to come to church. Because of you, that person says, believing in Christ is good. You may not have said the sinner's prayer to the person. Or sometimes you may not even have said, preached to the person the gospel. But because your life, of your conduct, your kindness, your wisdom, you have made an impact on the person's life. This is how we lead a person to Christ. Every Christian must have that goal. My life must communicate eternal life to somebody. I do not want to live my life in vain. And there's a price if you build God's church. God will not let you go empty-handed. Verse 10. Before that time, there were no wages for people or hire for animals. Before that time, refers before that time that you were willing to go and build God's temple because you refused to build God's temple that time. Before that time when you refused to build God's church, there were no wages for people or hire for animals. Means you work, you don't get your salary. You work, and then instead of getting $10, you are paid only $1. Then they say $9, utang. I owe you. I owe you. And then the money, it was never returned to you. I'm exaggerating. No wages. And you send out your sheep or your goat or what, your beast of burden to for somebody to use. And then that that boss doesn't pay you for the use of your animals. So you get no wages for people, no hire for animals. In other words, you're not paid. The work that you have done, you're not paid for. They don't pay you for the work you have done. They have cheated you. And that suffering. And that was the suffering of the people then. The people were not surviving. They were trying to make ends meet because they didn't have money. Because people were cheating people. Because people were struggling with life. The bosses were struggling, the people were struggling. No one could go about their business safely because of their enemies, since I turned everyone against their neighbor. They were suffering. Why? No one could go about their business safely. Now, the word safely here might... You might think that it refers to safety as in you are safe from being knocked down by a car, or you're safe from robbers, or you're safe from diseases. Now, the word safely here, the original Hebrew word is shalom. Shalom is quite a common word. Shalom, what's the meaning of shalom? I think I said that several sermons ago. Shalom is when you hear Malays greeting each other, they greet, Assalamualaikum, right? Assalamualaikum is an Arabic word. And Arabic is very related to, it's a Semitic language, so it's very much related to Hebrew. So Assalam, you know, Shalom, Salam, Shalom, is the same root word. So when Malays greet each other, Assalamualaikum, what's the meaning? It's not simply that I wish you well or hello. It is deeper than that, because the Near Eastern people, the Middle Eastern people, or the Near Ancient East people, they are very cultured. When they say peace, they mean may you have not only have peace in your body, peace in your relationship people, may you have a wholesome, holistic peace, all-rounded peace, your work, your studies, your health, your money, every part of your life is at peace. May you be prosperous, in other words. Yeah, in this case, may you be prosperous means no one could go about their business prosperously and earn big bucks, earn enough to feed their family. They were not prosperous. Now, they were not prosperous, they were not happy. Why? Because of their enemies. There was opposition to their lives. People were making life difficult for them. The people around them were not cooperative. Their bosses were giving them problems. Their colleagues were giving them problems. Their subordinates were giving them problems. The teachers will give them problem. The government, everybody is giving them problem. So people around them, people who hold, who decide whether they get paid or not paid, people are not cooperative. So they are facing opposition. And why are they facing opposition? Why are they facing opposition? Now this is the reason why they are facing opposition. Because I, Yahweh, the Lord, uppercase, I, Yahweh, God, had turned everyone against their neighbor, because I instigated people to oppose you so that you don't get paid for your work done, so that you hire your animals, you give your animals for hire, you're not paid, so that your teachers, your students, your colleagues, your bosses, they give you problems, because I turned everyone against their neighbor. In other words, God creates opposition. Why? Because they're not serving the Lord. They refuse to do their due diligence by serving in God's church. And God disciplines. So now I'm not saying that every time you face difficult moments in your life, it's because you've sinned against God. Don't be mistaken. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, probably due to the eye problem. Jeremiah was persecuted. He was thrown in dungeon, imprisoned. Job suffered for no rhyme and reason. Extreme sufferings. Abel was killed by the brother in Genesis, etc., etc. Righteous people who suffered extreme sufferings, but not because they sinned against God. But what I'm trying to say is this. When we face troubles in life, one of the first questions you must ask is this. Have I sinned against the Lord? Have I not been diligent towards the things of God? Have I failed the Lord? It's so important for you to ask this question. Because whenever we do that, God is not like that, you fail God one time, God can your backside. God is not like that either. But God works this way. when he reminds you again and again, hey, obey, 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 and you refuse, God will do something. God will not let you go because he loves you too much to let you wallow and indulge in your sin. He will not let you, not let it happen to you. He will discipline. And so we must ask, am I being disciplined for because I'm not faithful to God? Everybody does wrong. Don't be oversensitive. Oh, God must be disciplining me. No. God is very kind. God is very gracious. God doesn't just a little bit I can't backside as if he's a policeman waiting for us to fall and then to summon us. He's not like that. God is very kind, very gracious, very patient. It takes a long, long time before God came your backside. Because God is very patient, always gives chance. And therefore, when God gives you chance, quickly turn back to God. God is very kind, I tell you. God is kinder than our alma mater, our kind mother. Latin. God is kinder than our alma mater, than our kind mother. Far, far more patient. Far, far more. You do not know the kindness of the Lord. You remember in the Old Testament, God waited for the Israelites to repent for several hundred years. After Solomon, the people started to worship idols. And it went on to about until 500 BC. For about 400 to 500 years, people sinned against God, worshiped idols, and God sent prophets after prophets to remind them, patiently telling them, repent, repent, repent. Don't hit the point of no return where you have to turn your backside. And they hit the point of return during the reign of King Manasseh. Don't hit the point of return when there's chance, repent. God was so patient, several hundred years. And God was so patient, so kind that he sent Jesus to die for us. That is the love of God. He's kinder than our kind mother. But God is not forever patient. God is always patient, he's very patient, but God will not forever be patient. When we hit the point of no return, God will discipline. So if God has disciplining you, return to God. But when they return to God, verse 11, but now I will not deal with the remnant of these people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. But now, what is the now? The now is because you have started building God's church. You have started building the temple of God from now onwards because you are willing to pay a price to build God's church. Because you are now building God's temple, I will not deal with the remnant of these people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. In the past, it was discipline, but God will withdraw that past. God withdraws discipline. And how will God treat the people because they have now returned to the Lord? They are willing to build God's temple. Dear children of God, you must not harden your heart against the Lord. When you see the church of God, there are many needs in the God's church. There are many needs. There are many souls to reach out. There are many young believers we need to teach and so that they can be stable in their faith. There are many work that I need to do, that we need to do, that the leaders need to do, that the people need to do here so that we can save more souls, so that we can build their lives here. It's not about number. There's a lot of work to do. Building lives takes time, patience, love. When you see a person not attending church, did you say, hey, what happened to that person? And give that person a call, do you do that? I say, ah. When you hear that somebody is discouraged, are you concerned that, hey, that person may fall away from the Lord? Are you concerned? Do you have a heart of compassion? Will you come out and do something for the Lord? Dear Christians, when we are willing to start to care for the church of God, then the seed will grow well. And grow well is the same word here, shalom, assalam alaikum. Then you'll be prosperous. The seed that gives you food will grow so that you have food to eat, you have money to use, your money, you can earn money, and you have enough to go around your daily needs. Then the seed will grow well. And how will the seed grow well? You'll be prosperous. How will you be prosperous? Number one, there are three things. The vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. How will it be prosperous? Number one, the vine will yield its fruit. And the vine here refers to the grapevine, and this is the key source of drink for the ancient people. Number two, the ground will produce its crops. The ground is the key source of food. There's no NTUC. They don't import food. Import apples, import oranges, they don't. So the only way they can get food is the ground. They have to plant in the backyard. So the ground will produce its crops. A key source of food is the ground. And the heavens, number three, the heavens will drop their dew. The heavens will produce water so that you can water your farm, and then you can eat wheat, barley, the ancient food, grapes, or for the Chinese rice. The heavens will drop their dew. A key source of water. So God will give a key source of drink, key source of food, and a key source of water so they can grow the seed and produce food to survive. And why is the heavens the key source of water? Why is the heaven the key source of water? You must understand the geography of the land of the ancient of the Middle East. In Iraq, there are two main rivers, River Tigris and River Euphrates. And they are very big rivers, You see, very big rivers, a lot of water. But ironically, Iraq may have the water source, but it's not a prosperous country. Strange, isn't it? And then the other country that has a good source of water is Egypt. Nile, the river Nile, is the longest river in the world. Longest river in the world. But what about Israel? This is Israel, the one in circle is Israel. Israel has also a river Jordan, but a very tiny, weeny river. Not enough to become a water source. So they have no water. And so because Israel has no water, the key source of water must be from heaven. God must be willing to rain down water. And that's the reason why the heavens will drop their dew, so that they can survive. Now, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, when we return to the Lord to build God's temple, we care for the church of God. You care for Christians. The Lord will remember, the Lord will provide you key sources for survival. You will survive, even when people are not surviving. And the result? Verse 13. Just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations. And what do you mean by curse? Does it mean that nations curse Israel or Israel curse the nations? What do you mean by curse? Now, this word curse in context, it refers to nations will regard Israel as being cursed by God. In the eyes of the nations, they will say, Israel is cursed by God. Because they sin against God. No wonder they are in such big trouble. Cursed by God. Sui, jinx. And it's a shame. In other words, Israel will become a curse, will be cursed by nations. It's just a person jeering, ridiculing you. Jesus is very powerful. I thought Jesus is very powerful. But I'm not rich. How come you're rich, stranger? I don't have cancer. How come you have cancer? My children are in top school. No, your children are like, neighborhood school, and then you believe in Jesus. Why? I don't see how Jesus is powerful. And so they shame you. But God will stop the gap of the mouth. He will stop the mouth of the person who ridicules you, who jeers at you. And what will God do for you? But now that you are serving the Lord, I will turn things around for you. So I will save you and you will be a blessing. But now I will save you. Why? Because you have turned around. You are no longer cold towards me. You are no longer hard-hearted towards me. You are responding. You are changing. You have woken up from your dream. And because you've turned around, now I will save you and you'll be a blessing. And how will they be a blessing? Nations will regard Israel as blessed by God. They'll be honored. And this honor is spelled out at the end of chapter 8. In chapter 8, verses 20 to 23. How will Israel be honored when Israel returns to the Lord? Verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come, And the inhabitants of one city will say to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty, seek Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of Israel's God. So the Lord, it sounds like a generic term, but I say it's not a generic term. The Lord is actually has a name. It's actually Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. So it's actually Yahweh, if we pronounce it. We're not sure about pronouncing, but probably it's pronounced Yahweh. Okay, but Yahweh, if you seek Yahweh, this God and his name is called Yahweh God. You seek Yahweh Almighty. And I myself am going. I'm also going too. Verse 22. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty, Yahweh. The name of this God is called Yahweh. Yahweh Almighty. And to entreat him. Verse 23. This is what the Lord Yahweh Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, hey, let me go with you lah. How to go? Take bus number what? 5. Okay, I go with you. I'm here at 8 o'clock. Go together. Don't must wait for me. Remember, wait for me. Don't go on alone. Let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. Israel be honored. Now, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, when you honor the Lord, you take God seriously. When you honor the Lord, say, this is God's business. I will do it seriously. I'm very troubled when Christians serve God half-heartedly. I'm very troubled when Christians don't do their best. And when I say by best, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. That's for example. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying that the ushers are like that. No. I'm just giving an example, okay? I'm not saying that they're that. They're not like that. They're fine. For example, ushering, then you forget that you're doing ushering, or you're not dressed up, or you anyhow, not serious. This is kind. I'm troubled. But now, dear Christians, when you are willing to serve the Lord, things will turn around for you. No matter how miserable your life is, if you return to the Lord, I assure you, this passage assures you, things will definitely become better. God will make the seed grow so that your life is prosperous. Trust the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Don't stop playing games with the Lord. Be serious with the Lord. Put the Lord first in your life. And your day will brighten up. Your life will brighten up. You can be assured of that. Because God is very good. God is very clever, very powerful. He knows how to make things work for you. You honor him, he will make things work out for you. He's very good. So what must we do? Don't be afraid, but let your hands be strong. Now let your hands be strong to do what? Now if you remember, at the beginning of this passage, we are looking at the last passage, last verse. But you must go back to the first verse of this passage, the opening verse of this passage. And it says the same thing. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. What must you do? He says, let your hands be strong to do what? To build a temple. And this is the meaning of let your hands be strong. Build God's temple. And build God's church. Build lives. Your life must impact life. If your life is unable to impact life, you have wasted your life. That's what Jesus says. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, it is useless. Throw it out to be trampled. It means it becomes rubbish. Your life cannot be lived in vain. Your life must impact life. Have you impacted somebody's life for God? Have you brought someone to the Lord? You must impact life. Now, if you have the desire to do that, rest assured, God will work things out for your life. Your life will brighten up. Build God's church. Save souls. Build Christian life. Make a change to your life. In your prayer time, remember to pray for others. Know who I need, pray for them. Be a good example. When you come to church, be in time, don't be late. Be in time, don't be late. Because when people say, hey, this person is very punctual, you come and prepare his heart to worship the Lord. This is called a good example. When you serve the Lord, small things and big things, do it faithfully. Then people say, hey, this Christian is a faithful Christian. this teacher is a very kind teacher. He's a fine example of a good Christian conduct. Remember, teachers, dear teachers, your conduct matters more than your words. Your conduct matters far, far more than your words. That applies to every Christian. Your conduct matters more, far, far more to non-Christians. And serve people. Serving God is not about serving yourself. It's not about serving your how you feel. Put your feelings aside. But treat yourself a servant to serve people. This is called serving God. Encourage people. Be quick to drop a kind word for people who are discouraged. And you must have a life goal to want to lead people to Christ. Some people must come to Christ because of your conduct. I want to speak to our friends who are not Christians, dear non-Christian friends. God will heal the remnant, heal your hurts, because God loves us. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because God is a kind God. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God loves you to the extent that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Why must Jesus die? You have sinned against God. You must die for your sins. You must be punished. God will punish you for your sins. But now Jesus died on the cross for you. He's punished in your place. So when you accept Jesus as your Savior, God will not punish you for your sins anymore. You are spared from hell, from eternal hell. And God gives you heaven, eternal life. So good. Come to Jesus today. Let's pray. Our Lord, you have put us in this local church, Tree of Life Christian Church. You have also said very clearly in your word, we have a responsibility to Christians, the Christian beside us, to build their life, to be encouragement, to make impact on other people's life. Lord, we pray that you will milk us, help us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Use our life to communicate eternal life to people so that when we see you face to face, because we have done well, you reward us. But not only that, but when we come out, make sacrifices to build our church, Lord, you promise us you will reward us even in this life, 100-fold. We thank you that you are a kind God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I request something? Can I request that you all say amen together loudly? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we commit these people into your hands. Lord, they are your people, they are children, they belong to this church, or they worship here regularly. Oh Lord, soften our hearts so that we will not only come to church, we will come to bless people, will come to build lives. Oh Lord, use us to bring eternal life to people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.